You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. We're awaiting the arrival of punter Andy Lee to the studio. Matt, we heard from the special teams coordinator, Chris Tabor, right there. You know special teams very, very well. What have you seen from this unit, and how good can it be?
It's been great, and I think it's what's essential for this team is those core group of guys that we seem to have. And he referenced the inside linebacker room, which I think is a great room, a very impactful room on the special teams, and adds a lot of toughness to our special teams. Craig Robertson, Christian Kirksey, Tank Carter, all three of them playing significant roles on special teams. And as I've mentioned, you know, throughout the season last year, what I liked about Robertson was his ability to start in the place of Dansby, but his role not significantly changed on special teams. He was still making plays, you know, still making tackles, chasing the ball down, his pursuit, and so on and so forth. So I love it. And I think that the best teams in the National Football League, and this is nothing new that I've never said before, the best teams in the National Football League have their backups and guys who play active roles in football games as a part of offense and defense playing great special teams. So that therefore, take nothing away from Johnson Bettamosi or Marlon Moore, it's so that you don't have to use, you know, a luxurious roster spot on a guy that is simply only going to add value to you to special teams.
Who's the best player that you ever played with that was also a special teams player?
The best special teams player I've ever played with is Kasim Osgood.
Mm-hmm. And he's made it in the league forever. But it's similar to Bettamosi. He's never really made it as a receiver.
Right. He's been paid as a wide receiver before. I think he took a free agent deal to Jacksonville, which didn't work out very well. They paid him, you know, I don't know, like a 3-year, $18 million deal, which is a great average. But he had like as many receptions as he had millions. I'm trying to think, you know, there's not many, you know, and it's and like I said, I mean, for my sake, it's, you know, early in my career, I was playing less than Christian Kirksey plays in our defense. So I was playing maybe 15 to 20 reps a game on defense, okay, but playing on every special teams. And when I went into it's truly a mindset, and it's very difficult to do. And that's why I asked Coach Pettine and Ray Farmer about these rookies, understanding that their best ability to make the football team is to ball out on special teams. It's not to, you know, play great defense. And so for these guys, because you spend so much time with, you know, with your offensive and defensive coaches or coordinators and only one meeting with the special teams. And Coach Tabor in a 30-minute meeting has to go through punt return, kickoff return, field goal, extra point, you know, and all those other great things. And then there's the hands team. So it's definitely difficult to get those guys to buy in. But once you do, that actually builds a trust with those coaches, and your name comes up very complimentary in those staff meetings. You heard Pettine talk about, well, the coordinators got together and, you know, that's where names start getting thrown across. Well, how's he doing in your room? And that's how you make this football team. That's how you make a football team.
It is how you make the football team when you're at the bottom. That's the bottom 20, 25% of your roster. You got to be able to contribute there. We'll talk specialists then, since we were doing our grades. We saw Travis Benjamin had the one return for 17 yards. Shane Wynn, three punt returns for 10 yards. Shane Wynn also had on the kickoff, the big kick return that was called back via the penalty. Darius Jennings continued to look good there. I have a feeling, though, it's going to be Duke Johnson when it's all said and done, or Justin Gilbert returning kicks for the Browns this year. Andy Lee continues to be amazing with the kicks. Let's talk these kickers, though. Spear made a 47-yarder a week ago. Coons, 41-yarder here. We know Coons hit from, 47 and 53 in the orange and brown scrimmage as well. They each had one touchback on the kickoffs. Coons outkicked Spear by a yard on those two kickoffs, 72 to 71. Does anybody seem to have an advantage to you?
No, not really.
Okay.
And I don't think at any point, the same way, you know, Rex Ryan started Tyrod Taylor in place of Matt Castle, giving him another opportunity. There's really, Mike Pettine and Coach Tabor have given us really nothing to read into that one guy has the upper hand. Who's the first one to kick off? Who's the first one to take the field goal or extra point? It really doesn't matter because they're just flip-flopping them. They're going to pick one day and another day. So, but the more and more I see from them, as you've referenced their statistics there, the less likely I think the Cleveland Browns are to sign that veteran.
You
know,
I agree.
Had there been a flub, had there been a kickoff to, you know, the goal line or the or 2 yards deep where it's a returnable ball, you know, for some of your guys, and the hang time was low consistently, or you're not seeing it in pregame, in practice, and of course the game, there's really nothing negative to go off of at this point. You've asked these guys, they've performed. And they'll be with the amount of reps that are left, which is essentially, you know, two football games, 130 some reps, you know, on each side of the football, they're going to have opportunities to kick off and kick field goals, especially in these, or we hope, with our offense proving, moving the football against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Andy Lee not having to punt that often, us having to punt return, all those types of things, they're going to be given an opportunity to set themselves apart. It's what they do with it. And then ultimately, as Ray Farmer and Mike Pettine have said, the best football players for the Cleveland Browns will make this team.
So right now, if you talk, you know, about field goal kicking, they both made one field goal of over 40. Here's how they compare on kickoffs right now. Coons is averaging 73 yards per kickoff, which is actually ninth best among all kickers so far in the preseason. Carey Spear, 69. And the interesting thing is we heard Spear had the stronger leg. The height on those kicks is the same. Average starting position is 21.8 for Carey Spear. The average starting position is actually the 16-yard line, 16.7 for Travis Coon. Now, he has been very, very good. All of his kicks, I don't get how this is possible. They say the average starting position is 16.7, and yet he's got three touchbacks. So I don't know exactly how that's possible. But if Coons is actually the better kickoff guy, and whoever's the better kickoff guy, if the field goal is the same, is going to make this team, I would think.
Yeah, I agree.
I like his Southern
California disposition. Well, let's ask someone who's walking in right now that probably knows a heck of a lot more about them than we do.
Certainly, as we bring in punter Andy Lee right now joining us here in the Dog Bowl in Berea. His second time here in the Dog Bowl in his short stay here in Cleveland. You don't need the headphones. Just pop up there, grab the mic, and you'll be good to go. Andy, first of all, welcome. Good to have you in here with us again.
It's good to be back.
So preseason's gone pretty well for you. I was joking with you on the sideline the other day that you're tantalizing everybody and you're setting the bar so high with all these kicks inside the 5-yard line out there. What's the secret to your success in those scenarios?
I mean, I think sometimes, you know, with bounces, there's a little bit of, just a lucky bounce here and there.
You deflate about a pound, you know, if you're PCI.
I would definitely say a flat ball will not go as far as a
the balloon
ball with air in it. So
there you go.
I'm not for the ball not having as much air in it. but no, I would say one thing that I think one of the emphases is that we've worked on here in the camp, we've did a lot of plus 50 worker pooch work, and I think that's helped me out in that area a little bit. And just knowing the guys we have on the team that will be down there, I can be a little more aggressive, I think, sometimes with those punts, and you know, try to hit them in there a little further, because I feel like they're going to be kind of there, you know, to
either catch them, down them,
yes,
whatever it might be.
And correct me if I'm wrong, when you first time we were here, I think you said you had kind of two styles of kicks that you could use in that scenario, one that was kind of like a hanger, and then the one that you check up where you almost hit it like a wedge with the spin. And I noticed you've been using the drop with the spin a little bit more.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I'll do. I mean, I think sometimes I'll try to the easiest way to say it is, you can when you drive the ball a little more from further away, like if you can get a little slower rotation, sometimes it can kind of help the ball check up a little more than a fast rotating end of ring kick, which sometimes I can control and sometimes I can't. So I try to keep it as much as I can with the nice slow rotating ball. I don't know why, but for some reason I've changed my drop a little bit, the way I hold that ball as well this year, and I've been working on it from last year and just didn't feel comfortable to bring it in, but it helps me to get a little more of that slow rotation on it, which for some reason, I guess it increases the chances of the ball hitting softer.
Seems like it's working. Whatever you're doing is working.
Absolutely, and another question for you, Andy, and it was a topic of conversation just as you were walking in. We heard it from Coach Tabor. You know, when offense and defenses are over on the other field, you know, you're spending a lot of time with the two other kickers, and just through your experience of playing with some great kickers throughout your career, these guys have done nothing to separate themselves from each other. They've done everything that Coach Pettine and Coach Tabor have asked of them. What do you think it's going to boil down to for them to make the executive decision that one's got to stay and one's got to go?
Honestly, I mean, if it stays even, I have no clue.
Do you think they'll come to you for input? Because you spend an awful lot of time with them.
I don't know. I really don't know about that. We'll see when that happens. I mean, right now I can say both guys are great. They're both great guys on the field, off the field. They're doing a great job kicking the ball. They both have a lot of talent. I don't know. I mean, it's a real tight, even race right now. And it's – I don't know what you kind of look at to see which guy is going to be which when they're pretty similar, talented, and performing about the same, honestly. I mean, it's kind of crazy. So I think it'll just boil down to, you know, how these next few games and practices, and if one guy separates himself or not, and if they don't, tough decision. I don't know how to make that call any other way.
For the people who are just listening, and you say, okay, well, these guys have both made a 40-yard field goal under pressure, and we know Coon's made a couple long ones down there in the orange and brown scrimmage. What is it that actually separates them? I know kickoffs can be a factor as well, but what is it that separates kickers in a competition if they're both, let's say they're both making field goals?
I would say how the misses look, like how often, even when you make a field goal, did you hit it solid? Was there something off on that field goal? You know, ball rotation can play a factor too, because a weird rotation on the ball can sometimes be affected more by wind and other things, especially when you get into the elements late in the year here and at other places. I think those are some of the things you really look at. And also, what is the demeanor of the guy after he misses? What happens after he misses? Does he come back and make the kick? Does he come back? Does he get too discouraged on himself? I mean, let's be honest. You miss a kick or you do something that you're not happy with, you're going to get upset. That's just
– sure.
But how do you deal with that, and how upset do you get, and how do you come back from that? I think those are things you look at, because no matter – I don't care how good of a kicker you are, you're going to have tough times. There's going to be times when, you know, things look, you know, you're afraid that, oh, I don't know if I'm going to make this next kick. Well, is that – how do you deal with that? Do you come back and you make the kick, or do you kind of just continue to go down in the gutter? So I feel like that's one thing you can look at too, just their demeanor and just how well they are, how they miss hit the ball. Is it a good miss hit? Like, you can still miss a field goal and you hit it really well. Your just aim was off, or you kind of pushed or pulled it. But when you're hitting a kick and it's – you know, it just looks horrible. And that's something you can look at too, I think.
Something Nathan and I, we've taken questions about, it's been a part of our, you know, factor fictions as we do different segments, is that the opening day kicker of the Cleveland Browns is actually on the roster. And I think, as you've mentioned, they've done nothing but, you know, live up to every task that Coach Tabor and Mike Pettine have given them. How likely is it that the opening day kicker for the Cleveland Browns is on this roster? Because there's always the chance that they're both young, they're both inexperienced. You've taken what you just said, you know, maybe they hang their head, maybe they don't bounce back after a kick the way you'd like them to. You can always go out, and there's always going to be a guy that's kicked a heck of a lot more footballs in the National Football League on the streets, ready to come back into the league and play that role for this team. So what's the likelihood that one of these two young is going to be the opening day kicker for the Browns?
I mean, I think if you look it up to their performance right now, I mean, I think it's, you know, almost definite that one of those guys is going to be the guy. Now, what happens the next few weeks, you never know with that. But right now, I would say one of those guys is going to be our guy. And, I mean, I have all full confidence in saying that I think both of them would do a good job. It's just, we'll see kind of, you know, the development in the next, I guess, really a week and a half is really coming up quick. But as far as other guys being out there, I mean, I know there's always those chances, but I don't see that as an option as of right now.
And you don't see that ultimate failure in their personalities either.
No, I think I expect both of them to continue to do well. So, I mean, it could be a real tough decision coming down to the end. So, I don't know. I don't want to be the one making that decision. But, I mean, that's,
and you know, don't have to, fortunately.
And I'm sure there's parameters they're looking at that maybe I haven't looked at or haven't thought of, you know. But, you know, it's a better thing to have, I think. Good competition, both guys hitting the ball well. I think it's a positive thing for the team too, and if you really want to think about it that way.
And this is a tough city for kickers, because Phil Dawson was the gold standard for so long, and then you had the opportunity to work with him last year. So you've been around, you know, obviously very, very good kickers. Do these guys have, in your mind, you know, what it takes to be in this league for a long time? Is that the sense you have from them seeing them this early in their career?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think a lot of guys, I mean, if you make it 1 year, you have the ability to play more than that year, because if you can make it 1 year, as long as you continue to do what you've done, you should be able to play the next year and the next year. So I don't think that's longevity's an issue as far as what you're doing now.
Sure.
Whether or not they will or not, I think that remains to be seen. And once you get through a season, you kind of get the feel of everything. But they definitely both have the talent. I think they both have the mindset that fits well with the kicker. And like I said, I mean, I think they're both doing a great job. So yeah, I think there's a chance they could.
I feel like we're McCounting him right now. We're asking him about Johnny when we got the guy right here.
Yeah. Well, you know, you'd be surprised. This guy, I mean, yes, he's one guy. You can only talk about, you know, how he hits the ball and what he does so much. It's a lot of what he does. It's the guys around him, you know, the guys, the protection, the cover guys. And that's what I wanted. My next question was your perspective. You've been on some very good special teams units. You know, you've had some great cover teams, some great, you know, returning teams in your career. Up to this point, how did the Cleveland Browns stack up? Because Coach Tabor's had a very good coverage team many places, you know, and of course with Devin Hester in Chicago, it's hard to not have a good returning team. So he knows what that looks like. But and we were just talking about it, the second team guys or the partial starters predominantly make up a significant portion of what the special teams unit looks like. And just those guys' willingness to participate in meetings and the effort that they give on practice, how has it been compared to other places you've been? Or the one other place you've been.
Well,
sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, I would say that I'm not going to say that they're better than anything I've ever had, but they're not any. They're definitely right there. You know, because I'm not going to cut on any of whether it was a good coverage team I had before or bad. But the one thing I can say is the guys here are hungry for special teams. They want to play special teams. I'm really excited for especially the punt group that we have. They're very professional about the way they go about things, and they care. Like, I can say that's one thing I've noticed even here is I feel like everybody in the locker room cares about special teams, which is tough to have in the NFL. And I feel like it starts with Coach Tabor and the way he handles the special teams meetings and gets guys ready to play and gets guys excited to play. And then just the guys we have here are just real passionate about it. And it's actually very exciting for me because it helps me to be able to do my job better when I don't have to worry, because I'm going to miss hit punts. I'm going to hit some bad punts.
And they'll bail you out.
Yeah.
Just like you bail them out sometimes when they're held up.
Yeah, so that's it's good to know that. So not that if you're worried about that hurts thing, but if you're trying to hit, like if you're really stressing on yourself about hitting every punt 100%, like the best punt you got, it's really hard to do your job. But when you know you can go out, do your job, and if something happens, you know, not the right way for you, that they're going to be there for you, that it's a lot easier to just go about your job and be able to handle yourself when you know you don't have to worry about somebody else.
Well, so far this team's done a good job already. 3 times inside the opponent's 10, a forced and recovered fumble off of a punt as well. So special teams, it's important. That's what Ray Farmer said. Mike Pettine said, you know, you came here and we were out of time. Unfortunately, we could keep you here all day, but you know, when you came here, Johnson Batamosi, Marlon Moore, they're going to be here because they're so good at what they do as gunners. When you have a punter like you, you want the best, and that's what the Browns are trying to assemble here. We'll be back tomorrow. We're going to hear from the offensive coordinator, Jim O'Neill, offensive coordinator, John DeFilippo, defensive coordinator, Jim O'Neill. We'll take your calls. We'll break down the defense against the Bills and get ready for this preseason final tune-up, week 3, against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Andy, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you. It was great. Great to be here.
For Andy Lee, Matt Fontana, and Matt Wilhelm, I'm Nathan Zagura saying thanks for listening to Cleveland Browns Daily.
Driven by Liberty Ford.
See ya.